Good evening, everyone. We are continuing in learning Shmona Esrei. We are up to the bracha of Gvuros. The source of reciting this bracha is found in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yizayin Beis. The Gemara asks, "Minayin she'omrim Gvuros? How do you know that we have to say Gvuros in Shmona Esrei?" The Gemara answers, "Shneamar, it says in Tehillim Chavtes, Havu Hashem kavod v'oz, render to Hashem honor and strength," which implies that one has to mention Gvura in the context of Shmona Esrei. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara Brachos mentions that it says Hashem's name 18 times in Tehillim Chavtes, and this is the second time that we recite Hashem's name. Therefore, the second bracha has to be mentioning Oz, which is a reference to Gvura. Now, it's an interesting discussion. What exactly does Gvura mean? One approach assumes that Gvura just refers to rain. Rabbi Chananel on the Gemara Megillah Daf Yizayin Beis explains that when the Gemara says we say the second bracha refers to the Oz of Hashem, that's referring to the Gemara in Tanis Tabez, which says, Gvuros means that the rain is Yarjim Begvura. Looking at the Gemara in Daf Beis and Aleph in Tanis, the Gemara explains, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why we call in the literature the mentioning of rain in this bracha Gvuros Geshamim is because we have a reference to Gvuros in context of rain. It says in Iyov, Perk Tes, Pasagyud, Ose Gedolos, Adin Cheker, we call Hashem does great things which are beyond analysis, in cheker. And then the Sukkim and Eve also discuss Hashem giving rain, hanosim matar al panei aretz. And the Gemara explains that we find the words in cheker in a different place in the Torah, in Shayahu, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chavches, where it says Hashem created the world. Halo yidata im lo shemata l'kei alam Hashem, don't you know Hashem is the creator of the world, ori ketzos aretz, Hashem is not weary or tired. There's no comprehension of his understanding. And we find in the context of creation, Hashem's creations are called Gvura. As it says in Tehillim, Perek Samachay Pasuk Zayin, Mechin Harim Bekocho, Hashem creates, prepares mountains with his strength, Ne'azar B'Gvura, which are girded with Gvura. So in the context of creation, we find that the word Gvura is mentioned, and we have a juxtaposition from the words cheker by Kibriyas Olam to cheker as we find by rain. So just like creation has the context of Gvura, so to rain is also associated with the words Gvura. That's the Gemara's explanation. And from here we see that the word Gvura and rain go together, and that's why we call it Gvuros Geshamim. According to this understanding, it seems that the Gvura that we're referring to is specifically rain. And the Gemara continues further on, and how do you know you have to mention rain, the Gvura of rain in Tefillah? Because the Torah says, Lavdo b'chol levavchem, you have to serve Hashem with all your heart, as we say in the second parasha of Shema. That's referring to Avodah Shebelev, which is Tefillah. And then it says, immediately after that reference, Nesatim etar etzachem, Hashem will give you rain, which means that in the David, we have to mention the fact that Hashem gives rain. That's part of our Tefillah process. It's an essential character of the Tefillah. While these sources do imply that Gvura is referring to rain, there may be indications that the Gvura that we're referring to is not rain per se, but something even more spectacular and miraculous. Tosfos asks a question on Tainus Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Why does the Gemara use the language of Gvuros more than a different language of strength, like the word Koach? Why don't we say Koach Geshamim? Why Gvuros Geshamim? So Tosfos answers two different answers, which may be indicative of what the nature of Gvura actually is referring to. The first answer is that the reason why we mention Gvuros is because it contains many different descriptions within this single word. The word Gvura indicates strength, like the word Koach, but it also indicates Gedula, greatness. Hashem's greatness is expressed through the rain, and the strength of the rain is also expressed when it rains, which all are encapsulated within that one word of Gvuros. We use that word to be referring to the many different aspects of rain. The second answer of Tosos is that the reason why we use the word Gvuros is because the bracha of Ata Gibor begins with Gvura, and therefore we keep the word Gvuros in this context, which seems to indicate from the second answer is that really we could have used the word Koach, we could have used the word Gedulos, a different word, but because we're using the word Gvura in this bracha, not necessarily connected to the rain itself, we're going to continue and describe rain also within the context of Gvura. So from Tosfos, it seems to be potentially that the two answers indicate what Gvuros is referring to. According to the first answer of Tosos, Gvuros is directly an explanation of what the attributes of rain are. Koach and Gedula, different attributes, all within that one word of Gvuros. Second answer of Tosfos seems to indicate that there's actually something else, which is the reference to Gvura, and we're just attaching that word to rain because we have to mention it in the tefillah as well. According to that second explanation of Tosfos, what is the reference of Gvura that we are making in this bracha? The answer to this question, potentially, can be found in a quotation in the Gemara in Brachos, Taf Amud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, mitoch sheshkula kitchias emesim, because rain is equivalent in effect and greatness, like the resurrection of the dead, tchias emesim, l'fikach kavuha tchias emesim. Therefore, Chazal established mentioning rain in the bracha of tchias emesim. This seems to indicate that the bracha that we're mentioning now in Atah Gibor essentially is not about rain per se, but about tchias emesim. And because rain is like tchias emesim, we're going to include rain as well. But the essence, the ikar of the bracha, is referring to tchias emesim. That may be what Gvura is referring to, the fact that Hashem can establish tchias emesim. The Tur in Siman Kufidala makes that same indication, and he writes, the reason why we mention rain in this bracha is because mishum shekashem shetchias emesim chayim le'olam, just like those who are resurrected from the dead or live forever, kach gashamim chayim le'olam. So to rain causes chayim le'olam, probably in this context referring to the continuation of life. The Meiri as well makes a similar connotation, where he explains in Brachos Am Gimel Amud Aleph, because rain causes things to grow, vegetation to grow, it's as if there is a miniature tchias emesim. The Gemara calls something that's dry dead, and when you add water to the plants, that takes away the dryness and makes it as if there's a tchias emesim experience. Again, emphasizing that the real bracha is to mimic and model after the tchias emesim event. Now, these two interpretations of what Gvura may be referring to could, in fact, be a dispute. The Gemara in Tanis Daf Zayin Amud Aleph explains that Rebbe Vo argues on Rebbe Yosef. Rebbe Yosef was one who said in Brachos that the reason why we include rain in the second bracha is because it's equivalent to Tchias HaMesim. Rebbe Vo argues and says that rain is actually greater than Tchias HaMesim, because Tchias HaMesim is only applicable to the Tzaddikim, but rain is applicable and given to the Tzaddikim and Rishayim. This dispute between Rebbe Vo and Rebbe Yosef may actually be a machlokas of how to understand what's the essence of the second bracha. According to Rebbe Vo, the rain is greater than tchias emesim, so maybe we should attribute gvura to the rain experience. But Rebbe Yosef argues that no, it's rain's only equal to tchias emesim, and therefore the ikar bracha remains as being a reference to tchias emesim. Now, this may be a question of semantics, and it really doesn't make a difference, because ultimately you're going to be mentioning both aspects in the bracha. The question might be a question focusing on perspective. If you assume that the bracha is effectively focusing on rain, the argument may be that we first have to appreciate rain coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that allows us to understand Tchias HaMesim better. The Avudraham, for example, explains that the reason why we mention rain in the second bracha is to explain and teach us that just like rain comes from Shemayim and lands on earth to the exact point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to land, the winds can't move it from where Hashem wants it to be. It's unstoppable. This is an expression of Gvura. This too is demonstrated with Tchias HaMesim, where the entity is dead, and according to the natural order of things, it shouldn't become alive again. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that Hashem goes beyond the natural course of action and resuscitates the dead, which naturally should not occur. That's assuming, again, once you appreciate rain and see that there's some concept of Gvur in this world, we can now better appreciate Tchias HaMesim. The Marsha, however, presents the alternative approach. We first have to appreciate Tchias HaMesim, and then we could see the rest of Gvur in this world. The Marsha, in his Chilush HaGadol and Tanis Daf Beis Amud Aleph, explains that when the Gemara says the connection between rain and creation comes from the juxtaposition and almost Gzir Shava of Ein Cheker, Hashem is beyond understanding in creation and beyond understanding in rain. The Marsha explains that the Ein Cheker is a reference specifically to Tchias HaMesim. We can't understand how Hashem can resuscitate the dead. We can cause people who are living to die, but we can't do the opposite. Hashem can do the opposite. So the Marsha explains that's the same idea that we have when we look at rain. Marshall explains in his example that rain is expressed, comes with emidas hagvura, emidas hadin, but nevertheless it causes rachamim, growth and life, to be expressed, something that we can't understand properly. But again, for the Marshall, the essence of the bracha is focusing on tchias and mesim, the in cheker, we can't understand how Hashem could create this entity, and with that idea we can now understand the rest of the world, where Hashem interacts with the world through manifesting his midas hagvura, specifically in the context of rain. But taking a step back, regardless of your understanding of what the essence of the bracha is, whether it's referring to tchias hamesim or rain, we still have to understand what the bigger picture is. What is the idea of gvura that we're referring to in these contexts? And the Avuja Ham explains, and this is really the core of the bracha that we're trying to teach ourselves, is that gvura means something that is unstoppable. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechayim esim, that's an expression of gvura. Even though the rules of nature, Hashem's will, goes beyond that. It's unstoppable and can't be changed, even though there's specific rules that seemingly inhibit that ability to change. When it rains and the winds want to blow the rain to a specific location, Hashem still wants the rain to fall in a specific place. That's where it's going to stay, unchanging and unwavering. And that really is the essence of the bracha of Gvuros, as the Kuzari emphasizes, that when we're mentioning Gvuros of Hashem in this bracha, we're recognizing that Hashem has constant control over this world. Even though they're natural phenomena which indicate a certain way of course of action, Hashem can still go beyond that according to His will. Hashem is Mechayim Esim, and similarly, Hashem is Ma'ashev Urachim Urad Hageshem, all according to His will. And we'll discuss this throughout the rest of the bracha. All the different attributes that we describe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are also examples of where Hashem is going beyond the natural course of action and guiding the world according to His will. And this explains the Rashba is exactly the preparation that we have before we engage in Bakasha, where we ask Hashem for things. We first have to recognize that Hashem is the one who controls the world, He's guiding the world, and nothing can really stop Him from doing what He wants. And that, in many ways, is a recognition of Hashem, but also from our perspective, an expression of shiflus, recognizing that our ability to do anything and to accomplish is only because Hashem's ratzon is such. Following this understanding, the Torah in Siman Kuf Yedaleh in Or HaChaim explains that if you count the number of words that we find in this bracha, you'll find that there are 51 words. And the significance of 51 words corresponds to the 51 words found in the Pesukim, which this bracha is based on. The Gemara in Tainus explains that there are four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone controls: rain, parnasa, tchias hamesim, and childbirth and living. And those four references all add up, if you count the words in those Pesukim discussing those ideas, add up to 51 words. So again, in the makeup of the bracha, we have this reference of Hashem's ability and involvement in controlling the natural course of the world. Another piece of background that we'll mention before delving into the actual bracha is that while we have to mention rain in this bracha, as the Maritainis mentions, you have to have next to Avodah Shebelev is the mentioning of rain. Chazal only instituted the explicit mentioning of rain during the rainy season. And the reason for that, explains the Taz in Kuf Yadal Tzivkat on Yud, is because in the summer, if we're davening that Hashem gives rain, that's connected to the fact that we're asking Hashem for rain to occur and to come down. And in the summer, that's an inappropriate time. It can ruin the crops. And therefore, it would be best not to mention Hashem's explicit ability to give rain. However, we do mention the aspects of Tal, at least if you're Nusach Sfarad, and the Rujam explains that may be also connected to the idea that Hashem's Gevura has Gevura, because the same way that rain is unchanging and unstoppable when it comes down, dew is also considered unstoppable in the sense that it always comes down, even in the summer. And with that background, we could engage the text of the second bracha. This bracha has three basic sections. The first section is the first pasuk, Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem, which is an introduction where we recognize and declare Hashem's Givura. The second section, from Mechayim Esim until Mechayim Munasol L'Shuni Afar, is a description of Hashem's ability in many different ways to sustain, revive, and restore people. The third section is a conclusion where we exclaim of Hashem's uniqueness and ability and faithfulness to restore the dead, and we make a bracha recognizing that Hashem is Mechayim Mesim. So delving into the details of each section, the first section discusses Hashem's strength. We make a declaration that Hashem is Gibor. As a piece of background to this discussion of Gevura, Mefarshim try to grapple what's the connection between the previous bracha of Magin Avraham to this bracha of Atah Gibor. And the Mefarshim explain based off a quotation of Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Lamed Tes, Simen Yud Aleph, where the Medrash explains in the name of Rav Achuya, B'Shem Rabbi Zeira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shalcha Kodemes L'Shali, your bracha, referring to Avram Avinu of Magen Avraham, Hashem speaking to Avram and saying, your bracha comes before my bracha. And the significance of this statement is very interesting in light of our previous discussion of Magen Avraham. In this medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is raising the status of Avram Avinu to come even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is reflective in many ways of a relationship where Hashem is trying to be mechabed Avram Avinu. And if you look at the bracha of Magen Avraham, what we're saying is basically, we recognize our relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to fulfill your ratzon. So in many ways, there's almost this reciprocal relationship, as the Medrash is reflecting one aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechabed Avram Avinu, and nevertheless, in our recitation of the bracha, we're recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and committing to him and recognizing our relationship to him. Other Mefarshim explain, more specifically, that the idea of recognizing Hashem as the Magin, the shield, means that effectively we don't have to fear anything, even death itself. We recognize that Hashem is mightier even than that, and removing the fear of man and death allows us to approach life, the challenges of life, even the fear of death, in a more calm and focused way, being able to serve Hashem and submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where we begin, by recognizing Hashem as the Gibor. Hashem is the one who overpowers all things, even the power of death. Hashem is even greater, and we shouldn't be fearful of that. We should focus on our avodah of serving Hashem. In terms of just the translation of the word le'olam, the Ravan explains that this word le'olam comes from the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Pasuk Chav Ches, where we actually mentioned earlier in Tanis Daf Beis, Halo Yodata Im Lo Shemata El Ke Olam Hashem. We say, don't you know, didn't you hear that Hashem is olam? And if you look at the Malbim in that pasuk, he explains that that reference to olam means Hashem created the world. Hashem is the creator. We recognize that Hashem is the creator of the world, and because he's the creator, he has the power over the rest of the world to guide it and overpower it. The Rebbe Nikar, another Rishon, explains that Gvura means Hashem is unlimited. His power, his strength is unlimited, and it can control the rest of the world. After discussing the initial recognition of Hashem as the Gibor, we now go in the second section to describe many different attributes that Hashem has to revive and restore people, an expression of that Gevura. Now, you look at this section, there's mentions of Tichas HaMesim, Hashem's Matir HaSirim, Sumech Noflim. The Mefarshim try to explain what is this list. The Ravan explains that we're not just referring to Tchias HaMesim, we're actually referring to many different areas where Hashem has control over the world, specifically the areas where the Gemara in Tanis Daf Beis explains that Hashem has a key, a unique control over. As we mentioned previously, this is referring to rain, this is referring to Parnasa, Tchias HaMesim, and also childbirth. So we're going to go through in this bracha those four different keys that are mentioned in that Gemara. The Ritva, however, understands that we're trying to basically focus on Tchias HaMesim, but not Tchias HaMesim per se, rather different areas in our lives and in our future where Tchias HaMesim comes up. This can be reference to rain, reference to Hashem being Somech Noflim, supporting man, and ultimately Tchias HaMesim. Those different aspects allow us to appreciate Hashem's control over reality. First thing we say is Mechayim Mesim Ata Rav Loshia. Hashem, you cause the dead to be living, and you are Rav Loshia, abundantly able to save. following in the Ravon's explanation that we're referring to the different keys of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first key is the fact that Hashem literally is Mechayim Eisim. He resuscitates the dead. And following that interpretation, he then explains that Ata, we recognize that you alone are the only entity who's able to do such a feat. And we mentioned Rav Lo Shia. Ravon explains that this pasuk of this phrase of Rav Lo Shia comes from the pasuk in Daniel, Perek Beis, pasuk Beis, where it says, Rabbi Mishene Adamas Afar Yakitu, many from the people who are sleeping will arise, which means Rav doesn't just mean many, but many people. Rav Lo Shia, many people will be saved, will become into existence, because Hashem will be Mechayim Eisim, will bring rejuvenation and revivification to their lives. Ribi Nikar, while he understands that we're also referring to Tchias Meisim, explains Rav Lo Shia means Hashem is greater, has a greater Yeshua, a greater ability to perform his feat of Tchias Meisim. The Ritva, as we've explained, understands that we're not just referring to Tchias Meisim, but different aspects which reflect our ability to be recognizing Hashem as in control of the world, ultimately leading to a recognition of Hashem being Mechayim Meisim. He explains that this first mentioning of Tchias Meisim isn't literal, but referring to the fact that Hashem gives us food through the process of rain. This, in many ways, causes us to live. And in that context, Refersh explains that the word Rav Lo Shia means Hashem is abundant in his ability to be Moshia. The word Moshia comes from the Shorosh Yesh, which means existence and life, meaning Hashem allows existence to continue and life to continue at every moment. And this is explained through the next description of rain. So we continue in the next phrase, Ma'ashev Aruch Morad HaGeshem, when it's raining and recognize that it's a time for rain, we say Hashem blows the wind and causes the rain to fall down. Again, the Ravan who understands are referring to the different maftechos of Hashem. So this is a separate discussion. This is a separate context, not related to Tchias Meisim. We're referring to the second key of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hashem's ability to give parnasa and give rain, which is obviously rain is the source where parnasa is stems. Rain causes the grain to grow, allows a person to sell it, and to eat from it. That's a source of his sustenance. That's an expression of the second key of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashba, in his Tshuvos actually, Sim in Chelak Hei, Sim in Kuf Tazvav, understands that this is actually a reference as well to Tchias Meisim itself. And he explains that you find in the Medrash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mechayim Meisim, he brings rain and he brings Geshem. You find this as a reference to in the story of Har Sinai, where Hashem said the Dibarishon, Anochi Hashem Lakecha, and Bnei Yisrael's neshamas all left. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, was Morid Lahem Geshem. Hashem caused it to rain, and their neshamas came back. So you see that even the reference to rain is somehow connected to Tchias HaMeisim. The Ribi Nikar also explains in that light that the word Mashav Ruach is a reference to Vayipach Ba'apav Ruach. Hashem blew a spirit into the person, which is a reference to Hashem's ability to create life, which is literally Tchias HaMeisim. But again, if you follow the interpretation of the Ritva and Refersh, this is a reference to the fact that Hashem is Mechayim Meisim, not actual Tchias HaMeisim, but the fact that he causes people to live by giving them sustenance through the process of rain. We then say Hashem is Mechalk Chaim B'chasad. Hashem sustains life with kindness. So again, the Ravan understands that referring to the different maftechos of Hashem quoted in the Gemara Tainus. This quotation, Mechalk Chaim B'chasad, is a reference to the third key, which is Hashem's ability to give children, give life, and giving support to the fetus. So Hashem is Mechalk Chaim B'chasad. Hashem, with it through his kindness, supports the fetus. As the pasuk says, Dosan lechem l'chol basar ki li'olam chasto. Hashem gives food to everyone because that's an expression of his kindness. The Ritva understands, and so does, as following in the interpretation of the Ritva is Refersh, that we're referring to the process of rain. Rain causes the crops to grow, and that's mechalak l'chaim. That gives us sustenance, that gives us parnasa to eat from. The Vujav explains that the chesed that we're referring to specifically in the process of rain is that the idea of parnasa is specifically emphasizing that our success and our sustenance is not because of our actions, but it really is all an expression of Hashem's kindness, not because of our deeds. And expanding that even further, Rav Hirsch explains that the chesed that we recognize of Hashem is that through witnessing Hashem's chesed in nature, we're able to see Hashem's chesed in our lives. After discussing Hashem's ability to sustain us, we then mention another quotation of Tchias Meisim. We say, Mechayim Meisim Berachamim Ravim. Hashem gives life to those who are dead with abundance of rachamim, with kindness. So the Ravon explains that this quotation is actually a follow-up of the previous section of Mechat Chayim Bechesed. We're referring to the third Mafteach still of causing children to become born, and Mechayim Meisim is a reference to the fact that the fetus becomes living from non-existence, non-life. The Ritva, however, explains that we are now presenting a new interpretation of Tchias Meisim. This is not simply Hashem sustaining us through food, but Hashem is sustaining us in our lives by supporting us. And that's the descriptions that we'll be describing, that Hashem is going to be Sumech Noflin, Rofei Cholim, etc. And this interpretation of the Ritva is in many ways a prerequisite to the final stage of Mechayim Meisim, final understanding of that phrase, which is actual Tchias Meisim. As the Vujam explains, that we're now mentioning how we experience Tchias Meisim now in our lives, and that allows us to interpret and internalize Tchias Meisim in the future. So we now move in to describe what are the expressions of Tchias Meisim now. So Mechnoflin, Rofei Cholim, Matir Asurim, Hashem supports those who are falling, those who are sick, Hashem heals, and Hashem releases those who are bound. Following in with the Ravan's understanding that this is referring to a fetus, these are all references and metaphors to a fetus who is bound, who is dependent on life. Hashem frees it and gives it independence, and it becomes healed. The Ritva understands it again as an expression of Hashem's involvement in the world, and that he's Mechayim Meisim, supports those who are bound and proverbially dead, who are not able to express their full vigor of life. Hashem still supports them and gives them life. And Rav Hirsch adds that this is a further expression of chesed, that Hashem supports man in every aspect of life, the high points and also the low points. We then continue by saying, "Mekayim munasa lishnei afar." Hashem fulfills his guarantee for those who are sleeping in the dust. And for many mefarshim, this seems to be like a transitional statement. We've just discussed how Hashem is interacting and Chayim Meisim in this world, in our life, and we're going to be recognizing an even greater recognition of that experience of Tchias Meisim. And that's how the Abu Jaham explains this phrase. Rav Hirsch adds that the Emunah, the guarantee that Hashem had for those who are sleeping in the dust, is a reference to those who went through life and may not have experienced the salvation that they've been expecting. So Hashem says, one, that they will have a greater portion in Olam Haba because of their experiences they've been able to develop themselves through that suffering. Alternatively, and in addition, Hashem will give reward to his children in his merit, his huso. And ultimately, this person who didn't have that salvation in this world will have an experience of Tchias Meisim in the future when the time is right. After discussing the many different expressions of Hashem, his involvement in the world, and his ability to be Mechayim Meisim, we finally go to the third section, where we make a conclusion exclaiming Hashem as unique and has the ability and faithfulness to restore the dead. We say, Mi chamocha ba'al gevuros umido malach, who is like you, the owner of gevuros, who is in control of gevuros, of strength, umido malach, who is like you, melech memes umchayim matzmeh Yeshua, the king who causes death, causes life, and sprouts salvation. So this section explains Abu Jaham is to highlight Hashem's unique ability and soul power to create and undo reality. And that's really the goal of this build-up. We recognize Hashem's involvement in the world, and we recognize Hashem's unique and soul power, Givura, to create and control nature. But specifically in terms of what we're referring to in this context of Hashem's ability to be Meimis U'mechayi, that's a discussion in the Mefarshim. The Ravon explains that Meimis U'mechayi is referring to specifically waking up. when one goes asleep, it's as if he's dead. And when one wakes up through Akash Baruch Hu's involvement, it's as if he's being resuscitated and a miniature expression of Tchias HaMeisim. The Ravan, following in with his approach that we're referring to a fetus, explains that the Mei Mesum Chai is a reference to Hashem's ability to cause death and also birth, which is life for the fetus. However, the Ribbe Nikar and the Ritva explain that we're actually now falling back and trying to focus again on Tchias HaMeisim. And for the Ritva, this is an appropriate connection because we have been developing what Tchias HaMeisim is experienced like for our parnasa, for our support in our world, and now we finally get to this third stage of actual Tchias HaMeisim, a point which we never fully experienced, but we recognize from our past, and that we can have this experience as well. We mentioned that Hashem is Mi Domelach, who is like you, and the Ribbe Nikar explains that's again a reference to Tchias HaMeisim. Similarly, when we say Matzmiach Yeshua, the Ribbe Nikar adds that this is sourced from a pasuk in Shayo, Perek Chavav Pasuk Yudches Tiyutes, where the Navi says that the word that Yeshua's Bal Nasa, Yeshua's will not be done in the land. And the next pasuk then says Yechum Yisecha, the dead will be living. So the reference to this idea of Yeshua is the fact that while initially there won't be living people from the dead, Hashem will create Yeshua where the dead will actually be alive, and that's a reference to this pasuk of Matzmiach Yeshua. We also mention in this phrase the idea that Hashem is the Melech, Melech Memis Umechaya. And the Rashba in his Tshuvas and Chelkei Simen Kuf Tazvav explains that we mention Malchus at this point to recognize Hashem's total control over the entire world. And as an aside, there's a similar parallelism to this reference of Malchus in this bracha to the, and that of the previous bracha in Avos. In the previous bracha in Avos, we explicitly only mention the Malchus of Hashem at the end of the bracha. And the argument for that may be because only after discussing the themes of this of that particular bracha, internalizing them and recognizing them as applicable to Hashem, then we're fully able to recognize and declare Hashem's Malchus in the world. So that's true for the recognition of Malchus of Hashem through the bracha of Avos, where we recognize Hashem's connection through us and his involvement in our lives. And the same can be true and in this bracha, after internalizing all the different messages of Hashem's Gevura, Hashem's unwavering ability to control nature, control reality, control our growth, our parnasa, our support, and ultimately even Tchias HaMeisim, that's when we're able to recognize Hashem's Malchus and total control over the world. We then conclude by mentioning V'ne'eman atah l'achayus meisim, Hashem is trustworthy to be mechayim meisim. We recognize that that truth is going to be coming into fruition as we have that background of all the different experiences of Hashem being Mechayim Meisim in our lives. And we conclude with a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Mechayim Meisim, blessed are you Hashem who revives the dead. While some may interpret this as a praise, that we're recognizing Hashem as Mechayim Meisim, Rav Hirsch explains, following in with his interpretation of what the word Baruch means, we are pledging our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in recognition of his ultimate power to control even death. And as Rav Hirsch explains, we are trying to develop a commitment and a kabbalas al melachos shamayim towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we recognize that Hashem has the ability to protect us. We then recognize that that protection goes even beyond all fears that man has, even the fear of death. And that allows man to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem with calmness and without really any fear because he recognizes that even death is only a transition from one aspect of life to a different aspect of life. So again, just to conclude this bracha and summarize it, we have three sections of this bracha. We first recognize a general declaration of Hashem's strength in the world, recognizing that his power is unwavering as he's the creator and it's unlimited, as the word La'olam connotes. We then move to the second section, where we describe Hashem's abilities to revive and restore in many different ways. The Ravan's interpretation is that this is reference to all the different unique keys that Hashem has control over. We first mention Hashem's control over Tchias HaMeisim, then over Parnasa and rain, and then finally discuss Hashem's ability to create life through childbirth. According to the Ritva, we're creating a progression of experiences where we recognize Hashem as being Chaim Esim, both through, number one, the rain, through our sustenance, where Hashem gives us food. Furthermore, we recognize Hashem as Somech Noflim, Rofei Cholim, Matir Asurim, supporting us through our lives. And ultimately, Mekayim Umunoso Lishnei Afar. Hashem is Mekayim, his faithfulness, to ultimately lead that person to Tchiyas Emesim, even before that point, to having giving him schar in Olam Haba, and having his kids the ability to have certain zechuyos because of that person, ultimately, finally leading to the expression of Tchiyas Emesim. And then we conclude to the third section, where we recognize Hashem as the ultimate power, Micha Mocha Ba'al Gvuros, who is like you, the master controller of powers, Midomalach, who is like you, and specifically we're recognizing Hashem as the Melech, who is Meimis Mechaye, who is able to give Tchias Amesim, to resuscitate the dead, and we recognize specifically Hashem's Malchus, after all the different experiences that we've internalized in this bracha, we recognize Hashem's total control over the world. And with that, we conclude by just recognizing Hashem, again, as being Neman, trustworthy to be Mechaye Mesim, to resuscitate the dead, and we make a pledge, a bracha, wishing for the Shefa to come down in recognition of Hashem's ability to be Mechaye Mesim, to control even death. So again, just to put this in the context of our tefillah, we first discussed bracha of Magin Avraham, we recognize our relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, and our commitment in response to that. And the next aspect, which is another aspect of Shvach to Hashem, we recognize Hashem's total control over reality in many different areas of our lives, and ultimately leading to Tchias Mesim, but that's just an example which helps us internalize more the entity who we're davening in front of. We're davening in front of a Akash Baruch Hu who controls all of reality, and that helps us reframe, as the Rashi explains, our Bakashos that we're going to be saying, recognizing that only He's the one who's able to control all of reality. He's really the only one we can ask. We can ask for our needs and wants.